Good morning. This is MT Clark, and welcome to the MT for Christ 247 podcast. This little Zoom meeting is more than a Zoom meeting. It's a Bible study, and it's a little program that we produce and we call Bible Study with the Sincottis, as we are joined by our good friends Arthur and Susanna Sincotti, and we're joined by my lovely wife Tammy Lynn for the second part of a Bible study that we began a couple weeks ago, Poetry of God. And that's gonna the reference source for that, if you have your Bible, is Psalm 19, and we'll be doing the second half of that poetry from 7 to 14, as Arthur has sent us the study. We prayed over the technology and everything. We just we thank God for his faithfulness, and we thank the anyone who's tuning in or listening for their faithfulness as we say good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's just such a joy to be here again. I love this psalm. I love this time that we spend together in the Word of God, and looking forward with joyful hope to get into it this morning. The two of you look great. I haven't seen you in a week, and a lot of new developments have passed. I've been to man camp.
That
And you
was
had
interesting.
yeah,
Did they
my
make you into a man?
look, hey, look at me, look at me, right? I've been transformed.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
I'll restore it anyway.
And Mark, you had you were busy with some studies and things, yeah.
I've been busy with my client project, basically for Deeper Walk International School of Prayer Ministry.
Great.
We finished that up, and there's a hiccup in terms of my certification being on time, but it's an opportunity to grow. Basically, as it seems like I'm going to need a little more time to get the certification point, everything done, if we pursue that. But yeah, so things are good in terms of that. Things are good in terms of our recovery discipleship ministry at Star Point Church. Celebrate Freedom is now completed all the re Celebrate Recovery lessons, and we begin this week with the Celebrate Freedom discipleship course that I created as part of my master's thesis. Seven lessons that I thought were important to teach along with recovery, to emphasize who we are in Christ, and those things that sort of don't get mentioned. And the first lesson will be on the kingdom of God, and we're going to start that up tomorrow night before taking a week off for Thanksgiving. But then we're going to have the following six lessons to take us into the new year, and then lead us right up to starting that recovery stuff again on January 10th. So still busy, even though things are coming to a head and we're getting close. And we're only Thanksgiving. It's not next week, it's the week after. I sometimes look so far ahead that I was about to say next week is Thanksgiving, but it's not. So
Not
that's,
quite yet.
or is it? No, I don't know. We'll look into that. We'll look into that. Okay. Maybe I'm a week off. I don't know. Oh boy.
Well, the big news on our end, of course, is
The launch.
the starting the launch of
Church plant.
Strong Tower Church in the town of Philmont, New York. And Susanna and I we spoke to our senior pastor, Jerome Halstead, about joining that effort, and he was in agreement and kicked us out. So we'll
Okay.
make that official at the con with the congregation this at Rock Solid Church this morning. But it was a positive meeting, and we're looking forward. This is our first church plant, and it's exciting. It's very exciting. We've been putting a lot of effort in physically to the building, which we're just renting at this juncture, over the past month. And this evening it was going to be the celebration of all that, the celebration of all the hard work and the effort and the hope that's gone in the prayer. And watching this thing grow exponentially is our hope and our belief. So
And I am 99.5% sure that I'll be in attendance.
Oh, okay, awesome. That
So,
is so, that'll be so great. Boy, it'll be so
I got
good
a
to see.
busy day on Sunday, but
Yeah.
we're, like I said, not 100%, but
All right.
as close as I can get to. There's still room for God to take me to heaven tonight and before then, and for me to, who knows? I don't know, but we'll prayerfully be in attendance tonight to see that kick off. So I'm looking
Right.
forward
Well,
to it.
just remember it's going to start at 6, and parking is kind of
Yeah, it's on the
in,
street in Belmont, so I yeah,
yeah,
could be I could be down the block a bit, and
down the block a bit. You yeah, may have to do a little bit of walking back to the church.
that's okay.
But it's exciting. Yes. It's been a real interesting journey, and it's been nice to see people coming and being a part of the effort. Yeah, it's been a great And outpouring. I just kudos to Pastor Dan and Ann Knapp and their leadership abilities and the ability to pull people together and do it joyfully.
Yeah.
Yeah. To do it joyfully.
And that's the great thing about opportunities like this is, that's faith in action. You get to step out and actually do something for the kingdom. And how it's super exciting, and I can't wait to see some familiar faces basically there tonight.
Good. Well, I'm equally anxious to get into today's study, and
Amen.
we'll just open in prayer.
Yeah.
Father, once again, we come before your throne of grace humbly and joyfully at the same time, Lord God, because your word is so rich in content and it really stirs our heart. We ask for your blessing over our time together, that you indeed would open the eyes of our hearts, the eyes of the hearts of the hearers of the word, that it would sink in deep to a place, find a place of remembrance always, and that with that, as it becomes a part of us, Lord, that we're able to take that step out, not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. And we praise you and thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So yes, indeed, I just wanted to camp on this title, The Poetry of God, because that's one of the aspects that's really speaking to me here. The Psalms were songs. We don't know the meter or the rhythm or anything that was associated with these songs, but they were written in with colorful language, with hyperbole, with rhyming language, and set to music. And all this was with the intent and the purpose that they would be remembered, because this was an oral tradition. This was a society. There weren't any glowing rectangles at
No.
the time, or paper or pen or things of that sort. So in order to remember, and think of the power, even in our own culture, of song and poetry. How many don't remember Whose Woods Are These? I Think I Know. His house is in the village, though. You will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. From our
Robert
childhood,
Frost.
that's Robert Frost. I learned that as a kid. And
Well, from a sillier point of view, how many people can remember silly songs that
yeah.
they learned as children, Well, McDonald's.
Oh, McDonald, Jesus
Yeah.
loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Those are Right.
songs and things. And then, of course, we adults, how many times are we trying to think of something that we wanted to remember, and yet we remember a song from the 70s or the 80s that's ridiculous, and
Oh,
we can.
I know. Susanna and I watched a movie from the 70s the other night,
1976.
and the music
Wow.
was just, oh, I remember we used to sing this, and
Dance
just
to
it
it.
all came flooding in. And of
No.
course, so this is a Psalm of David, which we talked about in the last study. And David is called in the last chapter of 2 Samuel. Some of his last words, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And so he was kind of a Renaissance man in the sense that he stepped out in this form of communication. And so we're going to look at the second half of the psalm. We talked about last time how, well, let me just invoke the opening verse, which I took from Romans 3:21 and 22. It says, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that dovetails into today's study. Last time together, we looked at the first part of the Psalm 19 and saw how beautifully and poetically the psalmist spoke of the revelation of God and creation. Mm-hmm. And now he, in verse 7, he switches to express how God reveals himself by his word. Mm-hmm. And we come to know anyone by virtue of observation, one, and by more particularly by conveyance of language. Mm-hmm. And so verse 3 in the psalm gives us a kind of a sneak preview of this, where it says, there is no speech in our language where their voice is not heard. But verse 7 is going to be more forceful and more particular. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it opens by saying, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is true, making wise the simple." Mm-hmm. And so the only thing I could think to say to that immediately was, "You think, right? You know, of course it is. What else could the what else could the law be? Because a perfect and holy God has created a perfectly ordered universe." Mm-hmm. And I know it doesn't seem that way right now, right? Mm-hmm. But in truth, his narrative is coming to pass, and mm-hmm. not one jot or tittle will fall away from the law, as Jesus said, until mm-hmm. all is accomplished. Mm-hmm. So his purpose, divine purpose, right, for mankind and his creation, is coming to pass just as he ordained it. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to get off on a bunny trail of between, you know, personal choice
or sovereign
will and things of that sort again. Sure. But this he created, and he said in his word that everything that he created was good.
Mm-hmm.
So the word Torah, law, is one that we're familiar with, but it speaks of more than just the first five books of the Bible. It comes from a root word, yara, meaning to shoot, to cast down in a straight manner, to direct, to rain down. And the idea is that God instructed the instructions to Israel were given to them in a straightforward manner. Mm-hmm. You know, so
this not confusing is language,
not confusing, not roundabout, not the 10 suggestions, you know, it's well, you know, constantly arm wrestling. We try to make it such. We try to make it such infuse all these situations and circumstances. Well, what if, and how about this? And did you see? But God's law was given in a very straightforward and direct manner. The law conveys, converts the soul mm-hmm. by giving a standard.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says in Romans chapter 7, is the law sin? Well, certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law.
Mm.
And so this is the law is our barometer. We've heard teaching that says the four central questions of life are identity, purpose, morality, and origin. And morality being the question mark, is there a set of rules that we're supposed to be following mm-hmm. in this life?
Well, that brings up, you know, I've been reading Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, and, mm-hmm. you know, this was a radio program that he was asked to present Christianity during the World War time. and to help people, you know, understand. But he starts off, he doesn't start off with saying, you know, God is this. God. He starts off with saying, you know, everybody wants to do good and everybody wants to say that this is right and that is wrong. And he says, where does that come from?
Mm, yeah.
And he goes through a whole several, you know, chapters of really talking about where does it come from that you think this is right and you think this is wrong. And yet you want some person who created this law to give you a break because you should be, you know, understood that maybe you're just not really getting it right, but judge other people. So, you know, it all comes around that it's not, there is a moral law and there is a moral law giver.
Right.
And he is a very specific person and he is a very, you know, he's not a created person. He just is.
Mm.
And I liked how you brought up the Torah means to shoot, to cast down in a straight manner.
Right.
How many times have you been told something and it's like when you after somebody finishes talking, you're like, what the heck did they just say? Because it was all flowery or it was all, you know, metaphoric or it was all, you know, this and that, the other thing, you know, try listening to CNN and listen to the stuff going on in the Capitol,
oh my
you know, with the, you know, laws and additions to laws and amendments. And you're like, what the heck are they talking about? But that's their purpose.
Yeah.
Their purpose is to be
confusing.
Confusing. Whereas God's purpose, like Arthur just said, is straightforward.
Yeah.
Here it is. This is it. This is right. It's good for you. Please choose this.
Yeah, it's clear. And that's what we prayed for before we started. Clarity.
Yeah.
And I love the fact, you know, I love the way the Lord works because a lot of stuff is coming up as I'm listening to you guys speak. You know, Susanna brings up C.S. Lewis and that universality of the moral law on our hearts is something he writes about in The Abolition of Man. Something he refers to as Tao as a general principle, you know, because that's, you know, he tries to appeal to a wider audience. And that's all part, you know, that's all written down in the Torah. And I was taught in Bible study that, you know, it's in, and as you put down there, it's the idea of God's instruction to man, you know, basically, these are the things we're supposed to follow and do. And I also love that Psalm 19 is brought up again, and it has that contrast between the creation of man and God's word. And I was just reading in Acts 17 today, and it was all about Paul going into Mars Hill and you know, the commentary from you know, the Bereans had to check out the word and to be convinced. But the commentary from John MacArthur said that Paul's strategy in bringing the gospel, this is, you know, taking that Old Testament law to bring people to Christ, you know, his strategy in delivering the gospel to the Jews, he went to the Old Testament. For the Greeks, he went to creation. And in Psalm 19, we get both. And it's just, I love the way the Lord just, you know, brings us together and throws all the parts together for these studies. And it's like, are you kidding me? And, you know, it's just so good. And so, yeah, that's everything I got before we walked through the door. You know, it's like, and then it's like, oh, yeah, Psalm 19. And like, yeah. So, you know, Lord put me on that path to deliver that message. So hopefully I won't be confusing anyone with what I'm saying.
Not at all. Well said, Mark. Mm. Thank you. I totally agree. Mm. And agree with John MacArthur, too.
Yeah.
Every now and then.
Every now and then, yeah.
Because it brings up the next piece, which I think is just amazing how God does this, is testimony.
Yeah.
You gave your testimony. We gave our testimony.
Right.
Testimony. That's the next piece to this, you know?
Yeah. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And, I, you know, I had to be so frugal about to get it all in. I didn't want to go to a third study about what we're saying and what I'm referencing on each word. Of course, in poetic fashion, he's using different words to describe the same notion. He uses testimony, law, statutes, commandments. They're all, if we carve them back in the original language, they're different words, but they all have the same notion and understanding. Mm-hmm. But what leapt out to me was that in Exodus, we talk about, it talks about the Ark of the Testimony. And the Ark of the Testimony was, or the Ark of the Covenant, where the God's revealed presence was. Mm-hmm. His revealed presence. Mm-hmm. Now he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But he has chosen to in the Old Testament to put his presence, the place where you would tabernacle. I think we talked about that last time, mm-hmm. where you would tabernacle with God, in the Ark of the Presence, and that's where his glory dwelt.
And what was in the Ark of the Covenant?
Well, there was.
The law,
yeah.
The Ten Commandments
were on tablets of stone were placed in the ark, and
I think there was a jar of Aaron and Aaron's rod budded. I think that's all of it, but
and some manna, yeah,
and some manna.
I mean, the promises of God were true.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It'd be great to taste that manna, see how it's held up over. Right. 4,000 years.
No expiration date on that.
No expiration date on manna.
Not so sure about that, but
actually, well, the original they did, but the stuff they put in the ark, I would imagine, was built to last. So I don't know.
Okay.
Well, verse 8 says that the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. And David says elsewhere in Psalm 119, verse 16. I delight myself in your statutes and the ways of God should bring us joy. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're flowing with something and everything is unfolding rightly, mm-hmm. that brings the heart joy. You know, when everything is in conflict and a drudgery, mm-hmm. and there's strife and hardship and you feel like you're just going against the flow of the river, or whatever. That brings confusion and anger and
frustration,
all those things that we typically try to steer away from and reject in life. Yet we find ourselves.
Yeah, I would just camp on that. The ways of the God should bring us great joy, and even in the midst of circumstantial unhappiness. Like I said, I got some disturbing news that, you know, the plans that I made aren't going to work out the way I thought they were. And it really was a heartbreaking loss. Big disappointment. But, basically in the midst of that, I realized, you know, I was given, you know, an insight. You don't often get to hear feedback about yourself that's honest and cutting. You know, you can either rail against that or go into a depression, or you can stand on the word of God and say, even though, you know, this disappointment has come, and even though, you know, I have no idea, you know, if I'll ever succeed or whatever, I know that I'm accepted in the beloved. I know I'm a child of God who's secure, and that no matter what man should say to me or what should befall me on this planet because of his truth, mm-hmm. I know that I'm right where I need to be, and if it's a trial that we have to walk through, the Lord mm-hmm. will be with us, and we can still have joy in it. And in the midst of that, I took a walk. A good idea when you get bad news, take a walk. Basically, I took a walk, and I remember from Rock Solid, which our worship leader always played with the words a little bit, so I couldn't really figure out which was the original, because it was the Rock Solid original. But basically, it was I will rejoice and be glad, and you know, there is a fountain that flows from Emmanuel veins. And there was some playing with the words, I think, because I found the original lyrics from the Gaither Brothers, and it didn't seem to match up. I think Brenda tweaked it a little bit, but the sentiment was there that I will rejoice and be glad, and even in the midst of that disappointment, I was able to draw from my identity in Christ and from obviously my history of faithfulness. Of that didn't come from nowhere, that came from part of my walk, and
sure,
call these things into remembrance to give you that great joy. So,
Right. Well,
when you were saying that, it reminds me that my favorite scripture from Habakkuk, 3:17-19, that would 18, you know, 17 talks about even though this isn't there, and even though that's not there, and even though whatever it says, 18 says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation."
Sure.
For the Lord is my strength.
And that's it. Because we, as Christians, we can do quote unquote everything right as far as we think, and run into disappointments. So you know, even that, you know, because Arthur pointed to, like, if you deviate from that, obviously, you know, consequences. You know, as far as you know, you could be following the Lord and still running the heartbreak and loss, and you know, things that are affecting your loved ones or family, you know, that you have no control over. And you know, are you gonna be in despair, or you know, well, I'm here to tell you that you can get over, you can return to joy by you know, pressing into your faith and
that's right, absolutely,
the promises of God and his word.
Right.
Yeah, this is one of the most perplexing questions of life. What happens when I've done everything seemingly right, you know, as to the best of my knowledge and ability, and haven't reaped the result that I expected? And it's just, you know, life is not always A plus B equals C. And but the essence of the Christian faith is to how to navigate that disappointment, how to what are the unmovable truths that are not going to be affected by that disappointment. And one of them is joy. We often talk about how happiness is fleeting, happiness is a roller coaster of life. You know, I get up in the morning, I feel happy, I get out of bed, I stub my toe, I'm not happy. I smell the coffee brewing downstairs, I'm happy. You know, I walk downstairs and the dog has done something on the carpet, I'm not happy. You know, it's constant roller coaster. But none of this affects my joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah says. And it runs through like a thread. And so, and there's great joy in keeping the law. Because you know, you're flowing with and coming in alignment with God's ways and is in his attention. And
verse 9 really speaks to this, I think.
Well, regarding, we're skipping over regarding the commandments of God.
Yeah.
Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and will and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So the manifestation of God, of getting to know God, and this is what the psalmist is talking about. He's been manifest in creation, and now we're seeing how he's manifest in his word and in keeping, you know, the law. That's where the manifestation, the light bulb goes off. Like the guys on the road to Emmaus, at first, you know, it was shroud, but then when they knew, when the light bulb went on, and they said, "This is Jesus." Didn't our heart burn?
So and I love the way you draw love from that, because it's not just, well, these are my do what I say, blind obedience, and just do it. It's the center of that is love, you know, that if you, you know, if you love me, you'll do this. And then if you do this, you know, I will love him and manifest myself to him. His presence will become real in your life when you start to follow the word of God. This is, you know, this is the instructions for a deep personal relationship with the Lord. And, you know, obedience is part of it. And that love aspect, I think, is lost a lot, but it's clear from scripture, you know, that he's calling us to love him and follow him and to experience his love, you know.
And just from a, you know, an earthly perspective, love is not necessarily just giving you everything you want.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, when you were talking about your disappointment, Mark, I was thinking, you know, delay does not mean denial.
Right.
It means you have to wait. And maybe there's a reason you have to wait. Maybe you have to grow up a little bit before you get that Lamborghini and learn how to drive it. You know, just because you want it doesn't mean, you know, you're not going to get it. But maybe you need to learn something. But that's a silly example of what maybe you're going through, that you're going to have to wait a few minutes.
Yeah.
before that credential comes through for you to take that next step. Mm-hmm. Because there are things that have to be put in place.
Yeah.
That God has to put things in place. Same thing as a parent. We do that with our own kids. Mm-hmm. We love them and we want them to have everything, but we're not going to give them everything that they want.
Not ready for
they
it.
Want it, but they may need to wait a few minutes. It may not be right for them to have it just now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that's the love part.
Yeah.
Indeed. And we're actually, towards the end of the psalm, we're going to unpack this a little bit more.
Yep.
The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, mm-hmm. and the judgments of the Lord are true, righteous altogether. This is actually one of my favorite verses. It's not two things conceptually that I think we would think of putting together. The fear of the Lord is clean. We read elsewhere in Scripture quite a bit in Psalms and Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
But the law speaks of things which are clean and unclean, mm-hmm. especially in the book of Leviticus, you sure. know, where and Numbers. And 1 John 1:19 tells us that through confession, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. So this... this notion or this understanding of cleansing is powerful theme in Scripture.
Right.
That you know, we even Jesus at the Last Supper, he washes the disciples' feet, and then Peter becomes very indignant. Oh Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. You know, Jesus says, if I don't wash you, you have no part in me. Mm-hmm. Then Peter becomes very pompous and excited about the situation. And well, then wash all of me. And Jesus is like, no, Peter, stop. You're already clean, but you've walked through the world, you know? And so this cleansing, we know that we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And that seems kind of... maybe creepy that it's anybody who doesn't understand the power of his sacrifice, but that's a deep cleansing. You know, mm-hmm. that's a cleansing, you know, before God. That's washing the slate clean, mm-hmm. and giving us a new heart and a new character and a new life before God, mm-hmm. where the wrath of God has passed over us,
sure.
and our sin is not held against us any longer. So, and regarding judgments, it immediately took me to Genesis 18:19, which says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Mm-hmm. And again, all I can say to that is, yeah, you think? I mean, if God is unrighteous, then we're in a lot more trouble than we mm-hmm. than we really think that we are.
Absolutely.
But he's not unrighteous. Mm-hmm. He has created an ordered, perfect universe. We have the power of personal choice to come in alignment with that order. But he's working all things out for good and for his glory. And it is happening, too.
Right.
So.
And again, that's, you know, another challenge, you know.
Yeah.
Linda challenges, but his ways are higher than our ways. He sees the end from the beginning. And
yes.
Just because you run into a road bump or, you know, a disappointment, you know, it doesn't mean, yeah, you know, I, you know, one of the things that's out there is the whatever happens, you know, in time and space and through history, you know, it didn't happen without God's knowledge. You know, is it expressed well? Maybe not, but it's part of the overall story. And if something comes to pass, instead of rallying against it, we should accept and then move on from that point. You know, we can't say, why did this happen? Is this right? Well, maybe it isn't, but guess what? It happened. So now we have to pick up the pieces from this point forward and go forward and go with the God, you know, the God who can show you right from wrong.
Yes.
That, you know, so.
Yes.
What story is intriguing without conflict, right?
Right. Exactly. Right.
Go forward.
Yeah. Right. In fact, I just blogged about that yesterday. I said, you know, basically, what stories do you share? Do you share the ones like, well, we went there, not much happened, but everything worked out okay? No, yeah. That's not a very compelling story at all. So you got to have a conflict. Yeah.
Well, that's funny, you know, when you say things like that, how many times have you gone through like a wedding or something. And I've said to a bride, you know, when things are starting to fall apart, I said, what kind of story would you have at the end of the, of all this, that if everything went well, if the party went completely without a hitch, if nothing, you know, no, we talk about, like you said, Mark, we talk about, oh, and the punch bowl fell over and doused Aunt Joan, and she was, oh, you know, covered in juice and fruit, and you know, and the cousin Billy came by and slipped. You know, I mean, we've got all these ridiculous stories that go with it.
Yeah, we have great.
The Bible
stories.
Is cool that way too, because it doesn't just give all the happy stuff. It talks about some really hard things that people have gone through, and how they made it through with God's help.
Peter went from, I'll never have you, you know, wash my feet. And, you know, which I never realized this, but I've been studying, this sort of reveals narcissistic tendencies, because he said, well, anyone else will leave you, but I won't leave you. Like, he's, you know, special and whatnot. And then when he gets chastised with the washing of the feet, he goes to the other extreme. Oh, I'm, you know, terrible. So I gotta, you know, not only do you need to wash my feet, but everything needs to be remade and redone. And, you know, but Peter needed to grow, and he grew mightily through his trials, and
he gets better,
and you know, through the love of the Lord, after he was resurrected, the Lord invited him into his love and into his service, and he asked him three times just to make sure, you know, do you love me? Said, yes, I do, and said, now you'll feed my feet, and the rest is history. You know.
And because of this, I love verse 10, because it says, more to be desired are they than gold.
Yeah.
Even much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. What is he talking about? He's talking about his judgments, his commandments, his laws, his statutes. These are what's sweet to us.
It is.
Because it keeps us.
It genuinely is. And it can be a matter of perspective. You know, anybody outside the camp might be quick to say that we, as believers, we have to give up all this stuff, and it's a drudgery of having to go to church on Sunday morning and having to get up early and pray and read the Bible. I think very contrary to that. It's hardly a drudgery. It's a joy.
Yes.
Church is a celebration. If your church is a drudgery, then stop bringing, drudgery to church with you. Bring some joy with you. Reading God's word is always rich and enlightening.
Yes.
Susanna and I start off our day with it every day, and it puts us on a trajectory, gives us something, you know, to contemplate other than, whatever we're facing and the nuts and bolts of life.
Mm-hmm.
It really begins to massage our soul, right? And so none of this is a drudgery. And
mm-hmm.
and
sweet, like the honeycomb.
David's using, you know, very poetic, flowery language here to describe the beauty of it all.
Mm-hmm.
This is gracing. This is great. This is great. Verse 11 says, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Yes.
Wow. You know, and keeping God's law is a good thing. As I said, not a drudgery. It has its own reward built in. If you don't steal, you don't go to jail. Imagine that, right? There's some real simplicity here and commonsensical aspects of the law. Trying to drive the square peg into the round hole is painful.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not aiming, however, to placate an angry God.
No.
The relationship we have with God in Christ compels us to keep the law because it pleases our dad.
Yeah. Ask anybody who's repented of a life of sin and a life of error, who's come inside the world of faith, the relationship with the Lord, and starts living like he should, and they'll testify that, you know, there's a great reward in just simple righteous living, according to God's word. And I get to see that a lot. The man I was leading through prayer ministry, He was, he had come to faith and fallen away, and now he's back, and he's not, he'll never go back to, prayerfully, he'll never go back to the life of sin that he knew before. Because not only is he surviving, he's thriving because of his faith, and it's awesome to see. And he knows that, where other people say, "Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that anymore," he's like, "No, the Lord's protecting me from that, and
Sure.
you get reward when you follow it,
Yeah.
you
So this piece about pleasing your dad, boy, that just man, I wish I could please my dad in the natural right now.
We love it when our kids do the right thing, we get to get a, get a feeling like that. My son
Right.
Brennan sort of basically ran out of his resources, and now
Ooh.
he's faced, yeah, he's now faced with the reality that he's going to have to get a job, and he hasn't gotten it yet. He hasn't gotten it yet, but I'm just proud that he's come to that part, and he's made his efforts to do so. And when we see, when God sees his children try to please him, he's pleased even more,
Yes, absolutely.
It speaks to me of the high priestly prayer from Numbers. He makes his face to shine upon us in those seasons. In verse 12, he says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults." In this verse, the psalmist changes tone again slightly. After pondering the beauty and majesty and integrity of the law, he no doubt recognizes his own disability to keep the law. Even faces up with his up to his own disability to cleanse himself, right? And we already talked a little bit about that in Jesus and at the Last Supper's his engagement with Peter. But thus we have a foreshadowing of the need for a savior, right?
Absolutely.
David is wrestling with this in his thinking, and a lengthy passage from Galatians. And I would actually encourage everybody to read, really study that this the rest of this out. But in Galatians 3, 10 to 13, it says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree.
Well, it's interesting. My morning devotion, listening to the Proverbs, it talks about, the law is there. But if you break one law, then you've broken them all. You maybe you kept all the others, but you break one, you've broken them all. And now you're in need of a savior. You're in need.
James speaks of this. He says, if you
Secret
break one
sin.
law, you've become a transgressor. So he who, does not murder but steals has become a transgressor. And so God does not grade on the curve. It's not, this is the hallmark of Islam. If you've kept 51% of the law and then you might be in, right? It's a real teeter-totter there. But God doesn't grade on the curve. He's calling us to holiness. Be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. That's a daunting endeavor, right? We're facing, David had to face it. We face up with it all the time. Our constant proclivity to sin. Okay, so what do I do with that? Do I just throw up my hands and give up and forget and figure, well, I guess I'm going to hell with all my friends, right? And we'll just party it up there. No. God has a better, he's made it, has a better plan to redeem us from the curse of the law.
David
And
calls it to keeping.
yeah, so he goes on in verse 13 to say, keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. And in this verse, the psalmist confesses that his sin is both insidious and subtle, and that it's a bondage, that this is a bondage. This is not freedom. You know, some people who leap into, you know, a destructive lifestyle, all of a sudden they think they're free. Well, live in that for a little while and see how free you are. Okay. Reap the consequences of a life that is contrary to the word of God. And now come and tell me, describe your freedom. This is a weighty bondage. And sin is always likened in the Old Testament to Egypt. You know, the children of Israel were in bondage under Pharaoh, the harsh taskmaster, the daily grind. This was a very cruel and an oppressive regime that was controlling them. And when we come into, anybody who's been, especially, you know, Mark, with your recovery ministry, anybody who's been in a situation where they have a sin problem or issue that's controlling their life that they just can't get free from, knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So because basically you become, and it's, you know, it's it, like you said, it's subtle and insidious as well, because it is. And, you know, I was after going into recovery, I was very enthusiastic about sharing the stuff I learned through Celebrate Recovery, because I saw just how insidious it is, that within those lessons there was something for everybody, because there are bondages that are acceptable, the seemingly wholesome, watching hours and hours of TV, watching looking at your phone nonstop, satisfying every appetite for food, basically. We that bondage is to circumstantial happiness, and it's very apparent in the broken lives of addicts of drugs and alcohol. But it's just as insidious in controlling for those of us who are controlled by comfort foods, or I need to watch my programs or whatever, where it's that bondage to pattern behavior, where you always go and you always do the same thing. Whenever you need comfort, you go here, you go there, and which is not bad. It's a good idea to get some peace and enjoy experiences of what God has given us, but we're to find our peace in Christ. If that's not on the table and all you're doing is going to these circumstantial things, you're in a bondage, and you need a little more freedom by pursuing the Lord and what he has for you, the good things, you know.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. David's longing to be right in right relationship with God without the impediment of sin. This is what he's expressing in this psalm. He's just like gone over a laundry list of what the law is like. And then he comes up to face, you know, his own self and his own standing with the mirror of God's word. How do I measure up? And his longing that he should be blameless and innocent of transgressions. He closes with this beautiful benediction. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I really do. And he's going in deeper in his realization that even his thought life is laid bare before God. Elsewhere in Psalm 139, verses 1 and 2, David says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You have known my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. So this is, you know, amazing. George Carlin used to do a funny bit, you know, about about, you know, there was, you can't, don't even think, you know, you've sinned, but then you're thinking about the doing the sin is a sin, and you're thinking about it. So thou shalt not think it, he said, he used to say, right? But it is, because that's where an action begins. It begins in the thought process, yes, and in the planning stages, and working it out in our mind. And
or just that it just control, again, back to the controlling thing. Oh. Where that thought's going to control you all day long,
yes,
know, whatever it is, that you're going to try so hard not to do whatever it is you're thinking about doing. And so now you're just thinking about that, and you're not thinking about the Lord. You're not living in freedom.
Right.
Yeah. You're just worried that you're going to trip up and make and do that sin that you're thinking about not doing. You know, come on.
You make the sin more powerful than God. You know,
exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, we can make an idol out of anything. And Rob Reimer talks about our self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that's where it's all generated from.
Sure.
You know. So let's see. He says he's going in deeper about this. Finally, he folds in this reoccurring scriptural theme of redemption, presupposing the hope and need for a redeemer.
Yes.
You know, and we could reference the entire book of Ruth on this one.
Right.
We don't have time to read it all. I would highly encourage it, but the verse that the first that rose up for me in this regard was from Job, as he declares in his distress, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me."
Beautiful.
So the relational aspects of this are rich. The heart's desire to look upon the face of God. This was Moses' deep-seated desire after all that he had been through, after all the miracles, the deliverance of Israel, the pillar of fire, the pillar of the cloud, the parting of the Red Sea. He still has this churning desire. Yet, but I want to see your face. But I want to see your face, God. You know? And so we're satisfied in Christ, but yet we're constantly compelled further, you know, deeper into a deeper, richer, more intimate relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a paradox, right? We know him, we love him, we have him. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness, but yet we want more of him.
Yeah.
And,
that's okay.
And his arm's not too short not to reveal or pour out more. The place that we have to be careful is thinking that the more is outside the parameters of scripture. This is where people and cults get started, you know, with secret knowledge or some new revelation of God that's you know, never been heard before. It's titillating, but it's way he's given us his law, his word, to give us some brackets, some boundaries, right? And that's as we've stated, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That this is a good thing. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Amen.
Amen. Amen. One thing about that verse, but where do the Sadducees come from? You know, get off thinking there's no resurrection. Job said after his skin is destroyed, he'll see God in his flesh. It's good, but. I love the study, and I think we'll close out and put it to rest until you come up with something for next week.
Indeed. Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together to listen to your poetry, to listen to a song that's all about your truth and all about you as creator and as the the guide to our life, to the authority, and the one who knows right from wrong because he made it all. And he loves us and guides us to know him, so we can enjoy those treasures that are in his word. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us together so we can value your treasure and your word, and value the relationships we have in the body of Christ. Lord, so we just pray for your Holy Spirit to go with us today to anoint those gatherings of the saints, and especially the Strong Tower Church meeting tonight at 6 p.m. in Philmont, New York, specifically, Lord. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be there, to be with Pastor Dan as he delivers his first message to his new church, and to anoint the worship team so that they can raise your name in praise, and to bless the people gathered to form a fellowship and to start a congregation of new believers on Sunday nights in Philmont. And so Lord, we just thank you for what you've done and how you moved our stories to come in line with this story. And
Yeah.
we just pray for you to be with us in the days ahead, and guide us and protect us in the next week so we can come back and share our stories once again as we listen to yours every week in Bible study. Lord, beyond the Strong Tower, we pray for your Holy Spirit to anoint the churches of the world, the pastors and the worship teams there as well, and that your kingdom would expand today
Yes,
forward. And we thank you, we praise you, we love you, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 All right. Well, I'm looking forward to storming the tower tonight. So I just pray for the Lord to be with me as I will have a long day
Yes.
before that time. So we just pray that we'll be there to rejoice
Make a
with
way.
you tonight.
Yeah.
And I just thank everyone who's been subscribing. We get a new subscriber every week or so. So at this point, we're reaching someone, and we're really encouraged that they're checking out our old teachings and our Bible studies and our devotional messages that encourage a life of faith and following Jesus. And so we thank anyone who's listening or watching today. And we say, from Arthur and Susanna and Tammy Lynn and myself, we say, God bless you all.
God bless.
God bless.
Amen.